Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
I don't remember how to do this.
It hasn't been that long. Hey, Eric. You were on the wrong side.
You're on the wrong side.
I'm on the wrong side of everything.
The right side of the internet, if you're here right now, listen to the PHP podcast for May 28th.
2026. Throwing the year.
This week, yeah. Throwing the year, sure. I want to thank our partners over at PHP Score or
our CVEs. We'll talk about that.
That's exciting stuff, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to
PHP Architect.
And PHP Architect. Yeah, we gotta get ourselves a commercial, man. We got to get ourselves a commercial. PHP Architect and specifically PHP Architect Consulting.
There you go.
Yeah, we got to do that. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you might want to think about joining us live to get all the good chunky stuff. Because we talk about you guys behind your back and you don't know it, but you have to tune in live. No, you have to tune in live to be part of the show. The part of the show where if you look on our screen, you see people contributing live. Dick Mizzle, Bo, Exo Digitas, Bo, Bo, were you at tech? Like, I saw you picked up your badge, but I don't know. Did we say hi? Like, how did I not see you? I was busy.
He avoided us.
I was busy at tech.
Yeah.
He did. Like, did you see him at all?
I'm pretty sure I saw him around, but yeah.
Had I known he was coming, I would try to hit him up for some DJing, baby. Bo was a DJ and a pretty damn good one. But Ian, how's it going? I missed some people. I know Jeffrey was there, some other people in there. You guys need to come up with easier names to pronounce.
Gina, I'm drunk.
Gnome.
Gnome.
Yeah. Gnome. Yeah, man. I came by a few times, but you guys look super stressed. A lot.
Stressed? What would he be stressed about?
I don't know what you're talking about, Bo. It was perfectly happy, man. Oh, man.
Anyway, you were about to say, join us in Discord. Discord.phparch.com.
phparch.com. Discord.phparch.com. Come on and be part of our ever-growing community. And happy, happy days. Do we have anything else to cover before we get into this?
Yeah, go over to youtube.com/phparch. Like, subscribe, you know, all those things. We are on the wrong... Did you change up all of our coloring and stuff?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I might have changed the font a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. You screwed all that up.
You can't prove anything. No, it looks beautiful. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I like that image you painted in Discord.
The starting scene. Yeah. Check out our merch store, store.phparch.com. I tell you what, man, we got some comments at tech about various merch people were wearing, especially my kid who was there, NorCal kid was there. We'll talk about that in a second, but they were wearing our little rainbow PHP Architect shirt and got a lot of comments about where they got it. So store.phparch.com. We even right after tech, did you see you have some orders to fill, right? Some elephants?
I will check that out.
You're supposed to have said, oh yeah, I'm already on that, Eric.
No, I did see some people not complaining, but the merch store and the PHP Arch website are two separate sites. And when you order from the merch store, or actually now if you get a subscription from our site, if you log in with a different email address, you will create a different account on PHP Arch. I can go through and merge them. It is a manual process for me right now, but I've had a couple people say, I already have an account. Why do I have a new one? And that's why you went to another site, whether it's through Stripe or the merch store, and you checked out with a different email address.
Oh, no.
It happens.
People have been complaining about that because I integrated the merch store into the rewrite. I mean, I still think you actually go to store.phparch.com to check out, but I think you can actually add things to your cart and not leave. I have to look at that. That's a real issue. I understand why that would frustrate people. But to be fair, I mean, that's pretty much a common practice now. If somebody's using Stripe or something like that, and you go buy something on their site, Stripe will ask you to log in to remember your information. So I get it, but also kind of how things work a little bit. But yeah, fair point. We can probably automate something. We'll figure that out. Are you happy to be home, John?
I am. Markdown for Link is broken. I guess your Archie, yep, it is broken. Or
what?
It's just not being parsed as
where
the what are you talking the about? Your the Archie bot of the coming
get
soon,
the words out, John.
Soon. The Archie bot starting soon message that goes out, the link is busted, so people can't just click on it.
Okay, so there is actually a reason for that. Archie's no longer with us. Archie has been put down, and I don't know if I'm bringing him back. Archie was a very great bot, but he got lobotomized by Anthropic, and ever since then, I've been very unhappy with his performance, and I've been taking things away from him, and he doesn't seem to be getting any better, and so, yeah, I think he's dead now. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be bringing him back anytime soon. So I need to rethink the Archie bot Discord piece, figure out how I want to do that. I liked the bot when it was like when I had Anthropic going, and like you guys only see half of it. You don't see the business side of it, which I was using it for, like the team standups and stuff. We talked about it on the show all the time. And by the way, if this is your first time joining us, we run PHP Architect. Which is a magazine, a publishing company. Obviously, we have a conference, what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. We have YouTube channels, and we have a consulting team. So we are real life every day in the grit and grime of coding, including John and myself. We might be the anointed CEOs of PHP Architect right now, but we don't get off that easily. We both code a lot. But yeah, why was I saying that? Consulting. We have a consulting group. So I was using the Archibot for a lot of back-end stuff with the consulting group, the stand-ups. I had him monitoring our Twitter group. So we have a PHP group on Twitter, and it's closed. You have to request to join. It's a very annoying process to have to go through. So I had it checking that for new requests, and then I gave it a bunch of instructions on, you know, when it can approve and when it can deny before it passed it on to me. Like there were conditions where it just said, "Hey, I couldn't figure out based on what you told me, I couldn't figure out if I should approve or deny this person." So they would pass it to me. It was doing a lot, and I tried. My team will tell me I probably tried too hard to save it after Anthropic shut down their APIs to OpenClaw, which is what Archie was. I tried very hard to save it. I tried a bunch of different models and services and kind of work, but not really that good. And I tried to correct it, and it would almost work. I've been to almost working for like a month, and I just couldn't get it there. And so I made
a decision. Come on, let's be real. You've been almost working for years.
I try to almost work as much as possible, John. You got me. So yeah, it sucks. I don't know what I'm going to do about it right now. I might revisit it sometime in the future. I'm using Claude Cowork a little bit. I might look at that. I've been thinking about using that for the stand-ups.
But Ian is asking if you tried GPT 5.5.
I have not. Is it worth the try? Here's the thing, Ian, is that, and I'm okay giving it a try. I think I tried it. I think I tried one model. It wasn't 5.5. I just like, I already feel myself going down this path of having to sign up for multiple services for AI stuff. And I don't want it to get out of control. So I've been trying to scale back. I did sign up for Ollama. I signed up for a Llama service because it was fairly cheap and it gave you a high token count, but just so damn slow. I tried running it local too. That didn't work. You can get it subsidized with ChatGPT account. You don't have me tried yet, ChatGPT, aren't you?
Looks like you have something to do this weekend.
I know, goddamn it. I was so ready to put it to sleep. Okay, maybe it's not gone yet. I'll give it a shot this weekend. It's not like I don't have a million other things to work on, but you know, I will definitely give that a look. Oh, John Tech.
Well, you said so many things to work on. You need to revive a 7-year-old code base that we haven't touched in 7 years, 8 years.
A weekend into, I thought we were talking tech. We don't want to talk about tech. We have people on the edge.
Yeah, we're going to in just a second, but we had a meeting with a client today, and we worked on this project, what was it, 2018 to 2021, where it was like reimagining their app in a different way. But every time we like thought we were close, the CEO was like, that's not what I want. Nope, that's not right. That's not. It's like, but yes, like, I thought we were reimagining. What's going on here? The project ended up getting killed off, and it's been dead now for 5 years. And now all of a sudden, they want to bring it back. So
yeah, the last commit was 6 years ago. And for the record, I have a personal passion for this project, and this project to me was the first time I felt like we were a company where we required more than one person to work on a particular solution. And everybody was exceeding my expectations of what they would be able to deliver. And it was one of the first ones, I honestly think it was one of the first projects where, you know, I wasn't gatekeeping all the code, where I felt like I had to touch all the code and write most of the code. It was because it was too big. There was too many aspects of it. And I just remember everything coming together. All these different developers working on things, and when it would get deployed to a server, everything was just working the way it was supposed to work. I was just so happy with the work the team was doing, with the things we were accomplishing, with how well the code was coming together. I had visions of the future for this client. I'm like, this code is going to be so scalable. That's one of the biggest issues with their current code base. It's a legacy code base. So scalability as far as introducing new features is a little challenging and painstaking.
Painful.
And
yeah.
It never feels good. Yeah. So I just like saw, because we're making it so that, you know, we could bolt on additional features, and the features could be within that code base, or they could be an external service. And I was just so excited about where we were going with the app, and it got, you know, pulled out from under me, and I've been bitter about it ever since.
part of that was COVID too, right? We were getting there, and yes, we were having trouble with the CEO, like not seeing our vision and vice versa. Like
communication issues, I think, in general.
Yeah, it seemed like their entire team liked what we were doing except for him, but whatever. Then COVID hit, everything kind of crashed, and they just said, let's just sweep this under the rug for now.
Yeah. So yeah, they asked us to bring that back, and you know, it was like, well, you know, this is not something we can just turn a key and have it running again. This is a very old code base with a lot of outdated packages, and yeah, so I'm going to be playing with that here probably the next couple of days, at least start to do some analyzing of it and kind of try to put some numbers around how hard it is going to be to get it back up to speed, which I don't think is going to be extremely hard, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah. All right. Now let's talk about tech.
Let's talk about PHP Score before we get into tech, because we're already 20 minutes into the show, and this is going to be a big topic. You good with that?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right, let's do that. Okay, this is exciting stuff. We're going to play the normal spot for, and maybe it might be the last time we play this spot for PHP Score. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, and we're going to talk about it a little later. So stand by.
Thank you to our partners at phpscore.com. Every app builds up technical debt over time. It's the price we pay for shipping new features and moving fast. When we build up too much of it, though, it can start to impact how we work. Team velocity suffers, bugs become more frequent and take longer to fix, and everyone starts to get a little frustrated. The key to managing debt is to measure it. A credit score can help you understand how well you're managing your financial debt, and now there's a credit score for your technical debt. Go to phpscore.com to get a free technical debt score and monitoring for all of your PHP applications today. Thank you, PHP Score.
Thanks, PHP Score.
So what you're talking about, sorry, I wanted to get this typed in real quick. PHP Score was built by the folks over at Artisan Build, which do a fantastic job building various applications. The newest one that they want us to start promoting, and they've given us the ad for the magazine. We haven't gotten the verbiage they want for the podcast yet, but I appreciated them being at Tech, and Ed is an awesome guy, and I just wanted to also point out rcves.com, and I haven't gone through it completely, but it looks like it's going to monitor your code base, your composer packages, your NPM packages for any exposure to open CVEs and alert you to them. So go check them out over at rcves.com.
rcves.com. Yeah, that's become a hot topic lately, huh? The supply chain attacks and RCVE. Yeah. Why am I not finding this, John?
It's on the screen. OurCVES.com. OurCVES.com. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to talk about them for a little bit because I like Ed. Ed's a good guy.
Your daily security audit on autopilot. The speed at which AI is allowing security researchers to uncover vulnerabilities is matched only by the speed with which it allows bad actors to exploit them.
Dude, you know what I just did? All right. Man, I keep circling back around on Tech, and I don't want to talk about it yet. Am I breaking up to you?
Nope.
For you, by the way?
No, you're fine.
Okay. I think I found an issue with my fight for internet access on this computer, but we'll talk about that here in a second. Let me share this website because I made all that effort to pull it up. Your daily security audit on autopilot. If you're in the industry, you know a lot about supply chain attacks and all this other stuff. I mean, CVEs have been around forever. They let you know when things as much as the core of the OS that your application is running on, to PHP itself, to the framework you're using. So it's a lot to keep up with. I'm very excited about this product. We might need to play with this one a little bit because
it also watches your servers. So it's not just your PHP code. It's not just
it watches your servers too.
There's an agent that you can put onto your servers. And that's what your monthly cost is. Depending on the number of servers you have, it will scale with you.
This is very, very generous. Open source projects, you can get this for free forever. So that means they can never stop the service because they have promised you would have it forever. that might be how that works. I'm not sure. You might want to talk to a real lawyer. $17 a month for a solo developer. I don't even fall into that anymore. $83 a month, $1,000 annually. I get that. That's good. 50 servers monitored. We'd have to
splurge. Plus $1 per server above 50.
Yeah. Yeah. We might have to splurge on this one. Don't know. Yeah. I think
I'm sure Joe will love you for that one.
I'm sure Joe is just drooling right now. Oh yeah, give me those tools. I don't know if that's how he sounds. It's just how he sounds in my head. All right.
Do we stick on CVEs for a minute, or do you go to Tech? Because
it's too good. Do it.
Right. So a video came out by Brent Roos. I mean, I just love watching that guy's videos. He's got such a soothing voice to him. But it was how PHP barely avoided disaster. And again, it's all about the supply chain leaks that have been happening. And
so when this came out 2 days ago?
Yeah.
All right. So it's 22 minutes long. Is the actual story of how PHP managed to not get hit with the supply chain, like, can you tell me in like 5 minutes, or would I have to watch this whole 22 minute long video to learn it?
Well, there's also the, where did I put that? I think this one, the anatomy of the attack. Basically, GitHub changed their token format, and they released it for a short period of time, and this was found. And basically what was happening was in Composer, they were checking a regex to make sure your token was the right format. And if not, they were logging out the, you know, there's this error and here's the token we received. So one, we were logging tokens. Composer was logging tokens, which you don't want to log sensitive information. On top of that, they weren't flexible with token type, right? So now they know, update Composer, get the latest one so it can handle the new GitHub token that's coming out. GitHub rolled it back, but we don't know when they're going to release it again. But as soon as they do, we need an updated Composer to actually work with it. That's it in a nutshell. Depending on your CI environment, if you were using GitHub Actions, especially open source, and you pushed and it failed, it was logged. And depending on how your action was set up, sometimes you keep your actions around so that you can do some debugging after the fact. And as long as that container is around, that GitHub token is still active. So if it tore down automatically, it was a short amount of time, but there was still some amount of time between the time it logged and the time it got torn down. So if somebody knew about this attack, they could use that token for that brief second or two to do something bad. You know, once you automate that, you take less than a second to, you know, access somebody's GitHub account and do something before that token goes away. For those GitHub actions where you said, I want to keep it around. What was that? I'll
tell you. Just keep talking. I don't want to bring too much attention to it.
For the actions that you keep around, now you have that much more time for somebody to use that token in nefarious ways. So bottom line, we nearly avoided the disaster because this person jumped on it, realized there was an issue. You know, at first they were like, oh, it'll clear itself up in a few minutes. And they tried again, realized it wasn't clearing up, started researching it, actually used Claude to help research it to find out what was happening. And
interesting.
They did the right thing in, you know, trying to do responsible disclosure, contacted Nils right away with Composer. And then because you didn't know how long it was going to take to get a response, you know, started emailing or trying to contact like Taylor and was it Vincent, you know, the Laravel and Symfony and all the big players in the PHP ecosystem, saying, turn your actions off for now. Like, just turn them off until it's figured out. So love the way they went about responsible disclosure and trying to protect the PHP ecosystem as much as they possibly could.
Yeah. Yeah, NPM could take some lessons from the people who are Packagist and Composer. And it's the supply chain issue is serious, man. I mean, it's so bad out there. Okay, I'm an idiot. I just want you to know that. Not that this is new information. So, fuck, I'm such an idiot. I already shared it, so it's already in Discord. I could pull it out, I guess. This one link, the last link that showed up, that's a test that I was doing, experimenting with. I just realized what I did. It was so stupid. So I was reading on topics. All right. So what it is I've been experimenting with having AI generate some small blog posts. and then I typically go in and read them before I let them actually publish. And I've been doing that for a while. Well, when I got back from tech, I'm like, okay, I want to be able to queue up multiple blog posts. But I don't want them to go live until that date. And so I was messing around with that and getting that going. And this one got posted. Although when I look at it, so this is actually getting posted from my Obsidian vault. So I have an Obsidian vault that will publish the markdown. That's normally where I read the articles. I had missed this one because I had queued it up and I forgot to proofread it and go through and make sure everything's. So take this article just be careful. I haven't verified this information. But this morning, I'm like, oh shit, I got to read that article. And I pulled it up, but I got busy with my day. Then the show started coming around. And so I started doing research on topics to talk about. And I came across this tab. I'm like, oh shit, this is a fucking blog post. And what happened? I'm like, all right, that's good. And I don't look anywhere else. So I have Vim binding. It's called Vimium. So when I want to copy a URL, all I do is type YY and it copies the URL. And then I paste it into Trello. And so I'm reading this. I'm like, oh, this is nice. This is very well laid out. And so I like YY, paste. And like you're talking about it, I'm like looking at it. I'm like, what is it about this fucking page? Why does this look familiar? Yeah. Because of the fucking name. I'm like, holy shit. How did I get this in Trello? This is my little hidden URL, man. God damn it. Look at that. What a pretty guy. Fuck me sideways. So if you guys are...
You and your language, like, it's so strong.
What's that?
You and your language, like... You even said it yesterday when we went to the ball game. You're like, man, I got to... Stop with this constant cursing. It's like
it's signs
it's getting, of weak getting mind, worse. Man. Getting fuck worse.
It. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. It's a sign of a lazy brain. I always tell my kids. I do have to. I need to improve myself. Yeah. So yeah, that was that. I'm just one of those moments where I'm like, I'm an idiot. I don't know if this will make it to show notes.
All right. The last piece on the supply chain stuff was an update on Composer and Packages supply chain security. So there's a Nils and Igor released a blog on their own site talking about the supply chain security and what they are trying to do from the Composer side to make things better. And the most, if you are publishing packages at all, the first thing you want to do is make sure you have enabled MFA on packages. Eventually, they're going to make it required, but for right now, go enable it. So what do I do? I immediately go check, do I have a packages account and do I have MFA enabled? Turns out I did have MFA already turned on, but I still had my Diego Dev email in there and my username was Diego Dev. So I go to my profile and I update it, and I was surprised that there was no second authentication, you know, to authorize it, either making me put my password in again or sending an email to the previous email saying, hey, are you sure you want to change this? Because if somebody got access to my account, I left my computer open and somebody logged in or whatever, and they changed my credentials without me knowing about it, and I had a very popular package. Now somebody else has access to it. And again, supply chain attack could be really bad. So I wrote to them just saying, hey, I noticed this, not a big deal. I know you got lots of other stuff to worry about. This is, on the grand scheme of things, that's a minor piece, but it's something to think about. I know it's annoying every time you go to do something in an account and it's like, re-authenticate, or we're going to email you to make sure you are who you say you are. But there's a reason that we do that. Because you have Eric Mann at conferences looking for open computers.
He does do that, doesn't he? I see Eric Mann walking around. And I'm like, all right, where's my laptop? Is that thing closed?
I did a much better job this year of control Apple Q, I think it is, to lock it. Like, key combination, lock before I walked away, because last year I was a little too lax with that.
Close your show?
Well, mine's in the room playing music. So
my laptop's actively
being used, so I can't just do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Eric, how was your time at Tech?
Kind of great little elephant. You're wearing the shirt, too. I like the shirt. Were the bags also by Clayton Kendall? Did they do the bags,
yes,
too? Mm-hmm. Dude, Clayton Kendall, man, you guys stepped up hard this year. I know we gave you very last minute requests, and you guys nailed it this year. I love the bags. This color, this might just have to start to become the standard bag, because this color is just perfect. And then John's wearing the t-shirt, and they did all this. They sponsored the shirts, so they didn't even charge us for the shirts. And they did all this like a week out from the conference, or was it 2 weeks?
Yeah.
It was close.
It was 1 week.
It was a week, yeah.
Well, I started the shirts 2 weeks, and then the bags like the last week, and I felt so bad, but you and I had been going back and forth, and you know, we're very transparent with things. The conference in general over the years is very break even-ish for us. This year we were trying this year we were trying something new with JS Tech and ended up on the wrong side of the numbers by a fair bit. So when I'm talking to Eric, I'm like, I know we're losing money, but we're giving away some things, and it'd be nice to have a bag to put them in. Because we were giving away a magazine, an elephant. What else did we throw in there? One of these.
Oh, yeah.
Where is that at? Cool. Yeah. The lens cloth. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. And, you know, just trying to give somebody, you know, handing them all this stuff and then having them walk out of registration is a pain. So I'm like, we need bags. All right. Long story short, we got bags. That's why they were last minute.
Whew. Yeah. But yeah, Clayton Kendall stepped up. They're not only sponsoring it, they actually have a developer who they send to the, I don't know if they send them to the conference. They have a developer who attends the conference. Nice Bill. Guy.
Bill's awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, thanks to all our sponsors, by the way, one more time. I do appreciate everything. Is that it though? Is that our last tech? Are we done?
No. we are talking about next year, aren't we? We have plans for next year. We're working through the various weeks. Currently it looks like we're gonna be targeting sometime in April next year. Nothing solidified yet, but May is tricky for us, both of us, in lots of ways, and it just, yeah. I was asked by a very specific person, my wife, like, if you can move it, it'd be a good idea, because it's tough. Our kids are still in school, but it's nearing the end of school. And that's when I missed 2 band performances for my kid. And it's just, let's see what we can do. So we're talking about different weeks, and we'll let you know, hopefully very soon, what the plan is there. But let's talk about this tech.
Code Lordax, who we talked about, wrote the mobile app for attendees and vendors. Dude, what a game changer that was. Yes, she didn't take in consideration that if I had the ability to send push notifications to everybody, I would have used that. That's on you. I don't know what to tell you.
Did you? I know I used it like 3 or 4 times. I was trying not to abuse it, but it's just so convenient to get a message out quick.
Yeah. I mean, we did try to be very strategic to when we sent out notifications. So if you were an attendee, first thing, you can make up your own schedule, which was really sweet. And it would even give you a heads up when you were picking conflicting talks on the same day, same time. That was nice. Then, and this became very important this year, if your talk got moved around or rescheduled, it would let you know that a talk that you're going to has moved and give you a heads up about that. Fantastic, fantastic thing. And then the
why would they move?
Very last minute. But, well, you know, things happen at a conference, John. things happened. And then very last minute, they wouldn't let me, you know, not let them put the vendor app in there as well. And I was very much pushing back on that, because with the vendor app, there's a lot of thinking that goes into it. You know, the vendors need to have access to what's in their app. It has to be designed in such a way where the vendors are encouraging people to talk. Attendees are encouraged to talk to vendors. That's like John and I's big thing. Like, if you're a vendor and you're tabling at tech, you know, we're trying to give the attendees a reason to come talk to you. And so there was some back and forth, but got it all done. It worked. It literally released in both Google and Apple Store within like a 24-hour period before the start of the conference. It was crazy. Like, the vendor one was the one that had me most nervous, because obviously the vendors are paying to be there. They paid a lot of money to be there. They have an objective they're trying to meet. I'm like, oh my God, if I can't get this in the vendor's hand, I don't know what we're going to do. And it just all happened to work out. And the application was absolutely stunning. But let me ask this before we move on, Code Lord X, don't act like you're not in Discord. We know you are, Holly. There was rumors. We talked a little bit. Are you committing to the community right now to convert, migrate the application over to PHP native mobile? Native PHP mobile. Will you have that for 2027? Answer the question.
Put him on the spot. Rude. So Holly did so much between the mobile app and caring for our trailer in multiple ways with changing out tires and everything, that we named the elephant after her.
When you said that, we made her change the tires on it, give it an oil change, you know, just simple stuff.
It was our little way of trying to say thank you.
And they did the mobile app.
In years past, we haven't gotten a trailer to the conference, to the hotel, until Sunday, which has always been a frustration of mine, because I always wanted it there Saturday so that we had all day Sunday to unload, set up, because that's my big pet peeve, is I don't like the whole last minute, you know, doing the setup. Yeah. And every year it ends up being that way anyway, right? Once you get all the stage presence set up and then all the wiring done, then there's still setting up the streaming equipment and trying to make sure all that works. P.S. It didn't work this year. I apologize so much, and I'm so frustrated by it. It was a nightmare. With that said, trailer there, Friday night, actually. We got started Sunday, busted our butts getting things set up. Then Eric's like, hey, you want to go to do a ball game tonight? And then luckily it didn't work out. And you're like, we'll go Monday night. And so Sunday we got it all set up. Monday we did the finishing touches, almost all of it. We were trying to
like 95% done.
The last thing we needed to do was tape down the wires and test streaming. Like, that was it.
Tape down the wires where, John? I'm pretty sure all the rooms were done, except maybe the one you were in. The ballroom. The ballroom still had to get taped down. Kind of an important room, I guess.
Yeah, so the ballroom is the biggest space that we have. That's where we do our keynote. That's where we do game night. And that's where we put a lot of attention, like, as far as stage presence. We have the curtains behind the speaker. The lighting is different. Like, we try to...
Special lighting, yeah.
We try to make that room special and just like appealing to some extent. Like, we're not that adventurous. We're not that good at it, but we try. It's where we put a lot of our effort. We're in there Monday, just getting to that point of, all right, let's start taping down and test things. And they had an employee. So behind our stage is the kitchen area and employee area. And I guess an employee came out from the doors there, straight through the ballroom, down the hallway into the bathroom. And I don't know how, but this event forever shall be called either the Great Bloodletting or the Great Shit Show. We don't know which yet because it's
language, John.
This trail of blood all through the conference area was just
not blood.
It was so
this trail of something. Yeah,
it was. It bad. Was and
unfortunate.
And so a couple people on our team saw the guy run through, but didn't know anything was happening. And then I'm in there, and the chef and another employee came walking through, and I saw them kind of pointing to the ground, but I wasn't over right there. And I'm like, "Hey, chef, is everything okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." Like he just kind of ignored me, and they just kept walking. And I didn't think anything of it. I didn't have to use the restroom, so I go down the hallway, not paying attention to anything. And I go into the bathroom right there, and there the paramedics had kind of blocked it off. I'm like, "All right, I'll go to the other side." I'm like, "It stinks over here anyway. I don't know what's going on." And then I come back. Our employees, like our team, took chairs and put chairs over the entire trail of blood. That's how bad it was. And
I don't think it was blood.
It was yeah. A combination of blood and something else. It was like so gross.
So yeah, we had a little bit of a bio incident in the main ballroom, and you know, obviously our first concern was, is this person okay? Are they gonna be all right? And the you know, we don't know this person, and obviously when it comes to health, people aren't gonna share a lot of information. But end of day, they're okay. They were actually back at the hotel by Friday. So the incident that happened, I have a my own theory where I think it was an equipment failure sort of thing situation. But anybody who has family members might know what I'm talking about, who had to deal with something similar. But I feel like that happened. But either way, the important thing is they're okay. They are an older gentleman. So, you know, there was a lot of worry about that. And, you know, we just didn't know what was going on. And then, the focus turns back onto the conference at that point. It was very clear we weren't going to be able to use it. They had to call in a special cleaning crew to come out and do it. And like, there are all these conversations that were happening of, well, they're talking about they might need to rip up the rug. And I don't know if we're going to get in there this week, which, you know, the only concern I had at that point was, okay, but we have a lot of equipment in there that we have to be able to get to at least by Friday.
That was also our storage. So as we set up the rooms, all the extra bins that we have with extra HDMI cables and audio cables and just all of the extra equipment goes back behind the screens.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was a concern. I mean, we would have dealt with it, whatever. But that's how serious the matter was. And there was a lot of uncertainty about everything. So they literally quarantined the ballroom, the hall in front of the ballroom, which is a big deal because that was our vendor setup area. And then all the way out into the first bathroom.
Yeah.
So it was a very serious matter. And I tell you, the hotel, I felt, worked very well with us. The attendees were phenomenal. Like, once we explained the situation, we didn't hear any grief about any of it. It was like, oh, whatever, just tell us, just point to a room and tell us where our talks are. And it's like, we couldn't ask more.
It was tricky, too, because this year we had four tracks instead of the normal three. And... you know, credit is due with you specifically because I was going based on what the hotel was giving us. Like they came to us and like, unfortunately you can't go in there, but like we could use the atrium area for your keynote or we could do this or that. And I was like, okay. And then you stepped up.
Which to their credit, to their credit, I mean, we're not the only people in that hotel. And so they were willing to basically sacrifice like the main area of their hotel for our conference. And they were like, you know, hey, don't worry about it. We'll deal with, you know, everybody else and it's fine. So I got to applaud them for even suggesting that. That was huge, man. That was a huge suggestion. It was big.
Yeah. But you stepped up and you knew exactly what you wanted and how you wanted it. You're like, I don't like that. We'll do some other things. And we ended up losing we usually have a quiet room / speaker room where people can go in just to get away and like not deal with any noise and just take time for themselves. Unfortunately, we lost that for the first day just to move things around. And we ended up putting the new JS tech track in there because we figured that was going to be the smallest attendance and just moved rooms around to the point where if you had the app in, you're like, oh, it's not in the ballroom anymore. Now it's in Rosemont.
Mm-hmm. Worked out and really well.
Just how we shuffled everything around. But yeah,
even Rosemont, like, so Rosemont is typically set up where front to back are tables and chairs. But we realized that, like, okay, this isn't enough room for everybody. We need to remove like the last three rows of tables and get more chairs in here. And they didn't hesitate. They just went boom. And like half hour later, it was done and they got it all set up. It was, it was cool.
They tore up.
It was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. They tore up a lot of the like chairs and stuff they have in their atrium so that we could put our vendors out there. It was just, it was a lot of last minute work, but it came around. It worked out decently. Yeah, I kept sneaking back into the room though. I kept sneaking back into the ballroom because I'm like, I need some of this equipment. Like, I'm just going to, like, nobody's here. Let me go in and, grab stuff. And
he went all Mission Impossible. He came in through the roof and, like, hung down there and, like, started taking stuff.
No, at one point I went in there and I'm, again, back behind our screen where a lot of the storage is at. And I'm, like, looking for stuff. And somebody had come out the door, like, down at the other side of the room. So I, like, snuck down, like, crouched down behind some of our boxes and then realized this is stupid. I just stood up and kept doing what I was doing. Like, I'm not gonna keep hiding. And nobody say anything. I just grabbed what I wanted and got out of there.
And I can't harp on like the uncertainty aspect of it was a big deal because like people are coming in and they're seeing an area that's quarantined. It's like, okay, is everybody's safety okay? Like, nobody has to worry about, like, catching anything, right? And I realized, I'm like, okay, I need them to officially tell me that before I say anything, you know, for the opening. I'm like, I need to hear, and I even told her, I'm like, I just need to hear you say it. You know, say that nobody's health is in jeopardy and everything's okay. And she eventually figured out.
I shared a picture in Slack that I was saying you could show while we're talking about it.
Why? What happened? Oh, yeah, this one. Yeah.
While you're pulling that up, the funny thing is PHP Tech has often had a theme. We didn't do one this year, but in the past, there's been various themes from like last year, we did the whole baseball theme. But one year back before we owned it, they had a theme of kind of like Clue or like a whodunit, and they had like crime tape up, so people kind of thought it was more of that.
Holy crap! Yeah, that's our theme, the pit. It's like drama. You wanted me to share. Why can't I think about what I'm doing here? Oh, I need to change scenes. Here we go.
Yeah,
it was pretty crazy. It should be coming out. Yeah, what's going on?
That's there now. It's there now.
You see it on your I don't I don't see it.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. But I mean that's how serious it was. Like people in there in hazmat suits doing the cleanup.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and like I said, they were preparing to rip up the rug and I mean it was it was big deal. Good.
I was gonna say because of this, like our live stream was already screwed up. In one of the rooms, I could plug the Ethernet into my laptop and get connection and get an IP address. And I plugged it into our streaming equipment, got nothing. So like the first day, I think we may have had one stream working, if that, on the first day. Because we had
Chicago was working, yeah.
Yeah, we had to shuffle everything around. The two smallest rooms we had, there was no internet at that point, and we were trying to, like, there's just no drop in that room, and we weren't necessarily planning on that one. So I feel terrible for the virtual attendees. Our communication was lacking for sure this year, and the streaming issues were atrocious. But I ended up fixing that room the last day just by putting a hub in there. So taking the Ethernet into the hub, and then from there into the our streaming equipment, and all of a sudden it worked. I'm like, this is crazy. Didn't make any sense.
And again, it, you know, had we had that extra time to test it before, you know, the big issue happened, I think we would have at least resolved most of it before before the conference went live. So
yeah,
did you know I had posted that video?
I had the idea to try that network hub in there on that first day, but because we had to shuffle everything around, I forgot to go back and do it until the third day. So I'm mad at myself for thinking of it and not doing it. But what was this video you're talking about?
Yeah.
That one I did see.
Oh, you did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did try to communicate what we knew when we knew it. It was unfortunate. We weren't happy about it. And it's just whatever. I mean, you're just going to have conferences like that. We'll do better next year, I think. But yeah, that was something.
Yeah. Got a list of communication things we need to do. Need to make sure somebody's watching the support tickets, because typically I do most of the support tickets. You jump in there once in a while, and with both of us running around, there's nobody in there like monitoring them. And I get back and it's like, you know, all these emails. I'm like, ah, damn it. I just dropped
another
the ball
reason
on
being
it.
Our Discord, because Discord definitely gets the attention quicker than any other method during the conference. Like, somebody will say in Discord something, and there's enough people in the community that know us, that know the you know, workload of running a conference, that realize, oh, hey, the guys might not have seen this. I'm just going to mention it to them. And so, and we do love that. We're sorry about that. We will definitely try to work on that and see what we can do in the future. But again, issues are going to go. So the big question is the videos, right? We need to get the videos out. What do you think, John? When are you going to have the videos out?
We are waiting for our design people to get us the bumpers, the opening and closing of them. And then we have more members of our team that are going to start tackling the videos. They're going to be a little trickier this year because we also had issues getting the slides into our streaming equipment, which is another point of frustration with me. So now we are going to manually end up manually editing the video and trying to slot slides in, do picture in picture, you know, where we normally can do it with buttons on the ATEM. We're not going to have that this year. So it's going to be a more manual editing process. Luckily, we have a couple people that enjoy video editing, and I'm hoping they will knock it out of the park for us.
Yes, it was PH Pit came up a couple times. I think that would be a fantastic theme for this one. Yeah, that needs to be the title of this year's conference. And what was so funny is this was all very, you know, in the moment sort of thing, and we were getting bits and pieces of information. But by Thursday, by the last day of the conference, and it might have even been late Wednesday, you know, it had somebody come up, and like the rumors that were going around about what happened went from, you know, yeah, that's not really what happened, to what the hell do you think? I mean, there was like one rumor was somebody got stabbed, and another was there was just a very physical fight altercation that had people bleeding all over the place. A lot of it focused around blood. Like there was definitely this assumption that, you know, there was a lot of blood. I didn't see it, so I don't know. And I think if it's what I thought it was, it wouldn't have been, but it could have been. Again, the other reason I think it wasn't was because he was back by so quick. Like, if somebody had lost a significant amount of blood, yeah, you don't just come back a couple days later. I'm not sure that's how that works. Oh, but anyways, yeah, there was a bunch of kooky little, not rumors, just people trying to piece together the information and what they think happened. But end of day, everybody was very respectful. Everybody was very patient. Nobody really gave any static to me personally about what was going on. I don't know. That was a good, and as terrible as this, not terrible to say, but like leading up to it, and even beyond it, like had this happened to us the first year, second year, maybe even last year, like this would have derailed a lot of the conference, especially that first year. But we as a team, the team just has gotten so incredibly well organized with setup, and they just killed it, man. Their setup, how far ahead we were on Sunday, which, like, this is a big deal. Having Sunday done with the conference starting on Tuesday really gives us that day to take a breath, kind of put bags together, kind of do all the little chore things you want to do for the conference. And we were definitely on that time frame. Like, I'm like, we're going to be done by you know, Sunday night, right? It's like, we're done. Like, I feel like we're going to be done. And I'd ask the team, like, hey, where are we at in this room? Oh, it's done.
No.
This room,
it's done. Nah, they weren't. Not Sunday. Monday, yes. I came back Sunday. I had to go run and grab something. I came back and I'm where is everybody?
You're so mean. Go ahead. Let the world know how mean you are. I'm trying to.
You're like, they left. I'm like, we're not taking them to dinner? And you're like, no. Nope. They all just took off.
Go ahead. So you came back Sunday night. Yeah. You weren't happy?
No, I came with
the progress?
No, I came back Sunday. I want as much done as we can on Sunday so that Monday is, like you said, and I still felt like there was a crap ton to be done. And it was all crap. It worked out fine.
You said crap.
I said crap. Yeah, it worked out fine.
I was happy with the work the team put into it. I didn't have any reservations about, you know, stopping and not overworking the team. I knew for sure that, you know, what was left would have gotten knocked out, you know, Monday, given.
I think I stress out so much about the streaming part, and that's the key for me is wanting all that set up so we could test it. But all good, we made it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I don't. Yeah, I'm not gonna bring that up. I was gonna let the team. All right, now I am gonna bring it up because I said that. I was gonna let the team know if they only knew how much I fight to not overwork them. Today would have been a good example where I just we were on a call. And I'm like, okay, listen, John's about to get very upset with me, but I gotta say this.
No, he definitely stood up for the team very well.
Yeah.
Ew. I wasn't mad about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's the passion and just, I want to say the language. Like, I don't care about language. I'm not like, oh, I can't hear a curse word. I don't care about that. It's just more like, is that part necessary? Like, but again, I like your passion, so it's all good.
Yeah. All right. I think we've kind of gone off the road. But so end of day, tech went well as could be expected. Attendees were fantastic. I hope everybody had a good time. There were some great write-ups. Oh, we didn't even include Tickham's
post.
Why right can here. I speak today?
I don't know. I'm going to share. Ben Ramsey did a great blog post.
Ramsey did one too. Yeah,
we're actually going to use that in the magazine this month. Thank you so much for that. James Tickham over at Rove also wrote a great blog post about it. And then our friend Diana Pham did a little recap video.
Which is very cool.
Yeah, she's funny.
So they should be popping into Discord here momentarily. Yeah. And then they will be in the show notes if anybody's interested in it. But yeah, great feedback. Obviously, every year we look at what we can do better the next year. And I think we walked away this year with a few notes. But I was all in all pleased with the performance of everyone. And yeah, it was great. Yep. Ramsey didn't even say, I don't think Ramsey said three words to me at the
tech. You don't shit. Talk. Not you, three you, words. You hide. You hide. You like, you, I know your it's kid was
being
there.
And busy, John.
I well, it's obviously, I'm busy. Not busy because I talk to people's.
Well, I'm glad you realize that.
No, I like the after hours social stuff, and that's what I stick around for.
That's definitely my weakest spot. I definitely would rather not do the social stuff. It's nothing against the people who are going, and you know, the couple times I have stopped in, I have a good time, especially during karaoke. I do enjoy it, but I don't have that fuel in my tank to socialize, especially after a day at the conference. The day at the conference is exhausting to me mentally. Yeah, I don't know. I don't tell you. I try to do my best. I try to get people 100% when I'm there, but I know like these social events, I shut down just because it's late. I've put on my face long enough. I'm ready to like just chill out. And yes, my kid was there. It was NorCal kid who actually got a kick out of being recognized as NorCal kid, which is again from our previous podcast. So I'm just going to start using NorCal, SoCal, and current wife on this one because so many people in the community know my family members by those names, and NorCal kid definitely enjoyed being recognized, being asked, are you NorCal kid or SoCal kid? But they are NorCal kid, so it's not like I get to spend a lot of time with them. I see them, you know, if I'm lucky, I see them once a month, usually once every couple of months. So I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry if I wanted to spend some time with my child. I apologize.
You care about your child more than a PHP community. I missed two band performances by my kid because I love our community. Just saying.
Okay.
It's not a contest.
I think that's it, right? We done.
Yep. And that's it.
I like being done.
I have a few cards that we can cover next week. It'll be fun. And Ben Ramsey says boop. That's Diana Pham is trying to make boop the new ping. So instead of pinging your coworkers, you're gonna boop your coworkers.
Boop?
Yeah.
I like that. Yes, Mr. Ramsey, my wife was very much happy to get a new sticker. Although it's not like your current sticker has aged at all. It's basically the wife treats it like one of those baseball cards that are under plastic and gets rated. It's like it's in pristine condition. I can literally take that one out and set it next to the one you gave me, and she wouldn't be able to tell which one was the new one. And yes, she literally has it in her cell phone. She uses it, carries it around all year long, and I don't know why it annoys me.
This is Ben.
Every time I look at it, I'm like, Ramsey, damn it, Ramsey. Here.
Another thing he beat me in.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Thanks so much for everybody who attended PHP Tech. If you didn't do the in-person, I hope, I gotta stop saying I'm umming so much today. Gotta stop it. I hope you start to plan on tech for next year. We'll let you know the dates when we have the dates.
Hopefully next week on the show we can do that.
I really can't stress it. I know we try all the time, and I know a lot of people just think it's us trying to sell the conference. But I really can't stress enough how much in-person events are different than virtual events. And how much more you walk away with and how much more you enjoy. JS Tech is a perfect example this year. I know John has some reservations about what they did, about the fact that we did it. I think we can make some adjustments for it, and we're negotiating some things. But the thing that really stood out for me with with JS Tech was we were bringing in people from the JavaScript community to do talks. So if you go to a lot of PHP conferences, you start to see the same speakers at all these conferences. There's a reason for that. They have great talks. They're very good at speaking. I'm not knocking that. That's the way it's going to be. But it was nice to get these fresh faces who were experts in their field talking about the stuff that they're focused on and how they're doing things and how they're solving problems. It's just, I don't know, man. And you have those conversations even outside of talks. That's the big thing with the in-person stuff. Like, the talks are an important part of it, but it's a small part of the total experience. So I'm just saying,
all the other parts, like the job fair and
game night. The job fair, yeah, that was great. That's another thing where we're trying to figure out if anybody has any recommendations on this. John and I have kicked around some ideas. The concern we have with the job fair, and I'm going to put this out there because I don't want it to be like this, secret or anything like that. And you guys are all smart. You might have some feedback on this. The issue with the job fair, as fairly successful as it was this year, is that we want companies sending their developers, and we don't want them to be concerned that their developers are going to get poached while attending tech. And John and I kind of have the same philosophy on that. If you as a company are sending your developers to a conference, that should be enough for that developer to realize, hey, the people I work for care about my profession, care about me, and are letting me to attend this, where they as people wouldn't even entertain that at that point. But there's no guarantees, right? And I don't know. I see both sides of that coin.
To me, the people that are going to leave are going to leave irregardless if they're at a conference or not. And
right. Yeah.
You investing in them, for the most part, they're not going to look for a job, and they're going to come back, with that much more knowledge to help your business grow and succeed. So I understand that concern, but at the same time, I think it's misguided concern. I'm also interested in feedback from people that attended it. The thoughts, like I've read some positive feedback. I've been going through the exit surveys and people seem to like it, but I had no clue how to run it. I didn't know what I was going to do once we got in there. Like, I didn't know if I was going to like have companies or people representing companies sitting at different tables and it'd be like almost like a speed dating thing, or how to manage it. So it kind of just organically happened on its own, where everyone got in there. I knew of at least one company that sent their hiring manager out. And I love this story, right? They had one position to fill. They already had 1,400 applicants, but they still came out to tech because they saw the value of people that attend conferences. The people that attend conferences are passionate about what they do. They care enough to go to a conference to learn, that continuing education piece, the networking piece. You have people to talk to. So you've already got a leg up, and it worked out well, where they kind of pitched the position that they had open, and he said, I'm going to give you my email address. You email me directly, and I'll make sure your resume gets to the top of the list to at least be reviewed. Doesn't mean you're going to get the job or not, but when you have 1,400, you don't necessarily see all of those resumes, right? So companies kind of said what they had, took questions, which was amazing, having everyone ask various questions like remote or not remote, things that weren't necessarily covered in their little spiel. And we ended up having four different companies represented. And I thought it went great, but would love feedback. And like, was that the right approach? Could it have been done differently? And what would you suggest?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you guys all know, we're a community. We're not inaccessible. We're on Discord. We're on socials. Most of you have our emails. If you're not, you can probably figure them out. We're definitely not hiding from people. So we'd love your feedback. Love to talk to you all. But as far as Tech 2027 goes, I guess it's,
looks like it's,
we're working on it.
Looks like it's happening. It. Just a matter of when.
Yeah. Yeah, we're working on it. Okay. All right. I am really done this time.
Yep.
I spent way too much time with John today, so
I gotta for the past week.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Again, if you're listening to the audio podcast, come join us live sometime every Thursday or 3 p.m. If it's not us, sometimes we have other people step in and do the show for us. So every now and then, it's a good show. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Thanks,
this has been PHP Bye. Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.